Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, nearly two-thirds of the state's third graders need help reading. The man behind Georgia's largest Ponzi scheme is sentenced, and two beluga whales rescued from a defunct Canadian aquarium have arrived in Atlanta.
We saw them overnight interacting with each other through the gate, vocalizing it through each other, so we were confident that our introduction would go smoothly.
Today is Friday, August 14th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. A panel of state lawmakers met this week to hear how new laws could improve the state's literacy rates. Nearly two-thirds of Georgia third graders are reading below grade level. The new laws promote, among other changes, school-based literacy coaches to help teachers and students. Homer, Republican State Representative Chris Irwin, worked on the bills. He says so far, teachers have responded positively to the literacy coaches.
And they're developing a unified literacy plan, not only for the school as a coach and teachers, but as a for students to have a literacy plan for every child.
The coaches are now in several regions, and a new law passed this year will expand the program statewide. A new study is shedding light on just how much stigma and discrimination people with opioid addiction face when it comes to seeking treatment. GPB's Ellen Eldridge reports the findings from the University of Georgia show higher levels of stigma from mental health professionals than from the general population.
The UGA study surveyed 1,600 people across 13 southern states, including Georgia, and asked how much they agree with statements like, quote, "people with opioid use problems are to blame for their situation." UGA's Virginia Brown is the study's lead author. She says healthcare workers with those opinions may be less likely to prescribe medications that could help opioid users manage their addiction.
And we found, unfortunately not too surprising, that those working in the mental health field may experience higher rates of stigma than others towards the very people that they are serving.
Brown says that increased training for mental health workers and first responders may be the key to reducing stigma. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
The head of what prosecutors say was likely the largest ever Ponzi scheme in Georgia has been sentenced to 20 years in prison. The U.S. Justice Department said Todd Burkhalter was sentenced today after two others were sentenced for their roles in the fraud earlier this week. Burkhalter founded and ran an Alpharetta-based investment firm, Drive Planning, that illegally took nearly $400 million from thousands of people who paid for investments that never existed. Experts advising state utility regulators will have more opportunity to review a contract between Georgia Power and OpenAI, GPB's Grant Blankenship reports.
The contract to provide enough electricity to power three cities the size of Atlanta was filed with the Public Service Commission on July 15th. That started a 30-day review by the PSC professional staff. But on day 29, PSC staff said they plan to object to the contract. That would have triggered more open debate by the elected PSC of what Georgia Power considers a trade secret. PSC Commissioner Peter Hubbard had already asked for such an objection over concerns about ratepayer protections should the data center fail.
I don't know where we're going to find three cities of Atlanta's worth of power customers to backfill a contract like that if it is terminated early.
So Georgia Power has asked the PSC to add another 12 days of review, ending for now a risk of more expansive debate. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer was in Marietta today to support Keisha Lance Bottoms' campaign for governor. The two Democrats addressed a key concern of voters this election cycle, affordability. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
At the event, the former Atlanta mayor said young voters she's spoken to across the state are concerned about the rising cost of living and looking for solutions.
Something that I want to do is create free technical and community college in this state. We know that the higher education is very expensive. Want to make sure that everybody has a pathway to a meaningful, well-paying job in this state.
Meanwhile, Bottoms' opponent, Republican nominee Rick Jackson, announced his plan Wednesday to address affordability through bolstering small businesses. At Bottoms' event, she also promoted expanding Medicaid, a cornerstone of her platform, with Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Marietta.
The University System of Georgia generated a record $25 billion for the state's economy in the fiscal year that ended in June. That's up 9% from the previous year. An economic impact report released yesterday broke down total spending and other impacts for each of the system's 25 institutions. Two beluga whales from a shuttered theme park in Canada have arrived at Georgia Aquarium. They were part of an international effort to rescue 30 whales still living at Marineland of Canada. The Ontario park closed a couple years ago amid financial troubles. Jason Jones, Georgia Aquarium's senior curator of animal well-being, says Baylor and Zephyr are adjusting to their new home well after a 12-hour transfer by plane and truck. They're now with four other belugas in the aquarium's main habitat on view to the public.
We saw them overnight interacting with each other through the gate, vocalizing it through each other, so we were confident that our introduction would go smoothly, and that has been the case.
Jones says the aquarium has been preparing for the transfer for about a year. The whale's fate has been the subject of international discussion for years before that. The Canadian government approved their rescue plan in June. The Shedd Aquarium in Chicago and two SeaWorld parks in Texas and California are getting the bulk of the whales. Two others are going to an aquarium in Spain. 20 whales have died at Marineland since 2019. The rescue saves them from a similar fate or the possibility of euthanasia. Jones says Baylor and Zephyr will be given every opportunity to thrive.
This is a really, really exciting opportunity for us to bring in these whales. This is a huge rescue effort. 30 whales coming to facilities in the U.S. is huge. It is a once-in-a-lifetime type of opportunity.
Georgia Aquarium is the largest aquarium in the U.S. It celebrated its 20th anniversary last year. Atlanta United is set to play its first home match in 3 months and its first since the World Cup. The team hopes to capitalize on the momentum the international tournament brought to Atlanta. They'll need it as they sit at the bottom of the MLS Eastern Conference standings. Midfielder Alexei Maranchuk spoke to reporters this morning ahead of tomorrow's match against the New York Red Bulls.
Long time no play in Mercedes-Benz. To be honest, I really missed our stadium. And it's a tough moment for everybody, and I want us to stay together.
United's return is part of a jam-packed sports weekend in Atlanta, which also includes a championship boxing match and a WNBA game at State Farm Arena, a preseason NFL game between the Atlanta Falcons and Denver Broncos at Mercedes-Benz, and a three-game series between the Atlanta Braves and the Arizona Diamondbacks at Truist Park. And that's a wrap on this edition of Georgia Today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Come on back on Monday. Make sure you subscribe to us so you remember to do that. And check gpb.org/news for updates to the stories you heard on the podcast today, as well as new headlines over the weekend. And your feedback is welcome, of course. Send it by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening, and have a great weekend.